fellow of the American Clinical College of Nutrition. It goes on and on. One of the major salient points is that, I did a lot of studies, I've done a lot of articles, and I just threw this in there just in case we do further seminars, really. So, I wrote some textbooks as well. Okay, I wrote the book on biodefense here. What happened was, long story short, is I was invited to a science symposium in Baltimore, and I gave my data and my speech and all that, and there was a publishing company in the audience. They said, please write the book so we can read it and then we'll publish it. So that's what this is. Don't ask for it. I don't have any more.
Oh, no, but...
Oh, you can get it online. That's right.
No, I'm having it republished because the publisher went out of business. So it will eventually be available once more.
Okay. There you go.
It's just not currently available.
But that goes through everything. Everything. All right. Let's move on. All right, this is a good short history of what happened here. As you all, most of you will recall, in 2001 was the attack on the World Trade Center in New York City, and the government at that time was concerned about an anthrax attack. And at that time, I happened to be in a pretty high position in nutrition. Okay, so their only response to us asking, what do we do, government, they said, rather sarcastically, well, just put plastic on your window and duct tape it. Wrong. So, fortunately, I knew a lot of laboratory people, and one of them contacted me, and they said, we can't tell you this, but we know of something and a few compounds that actually destroy anthrax as a bacteria. And I said, whoa. But we can't tell you because it's not a drug. Okay. So we'll go back here right and talk about some what they do, and that's antibiotics for bacteria. So you can see that antibiotics do not distinguish good from bad. You see, anti is against, biotic is life. So an antibiotic is against life. A probiotic, then, is for life. You all probably know that. Now, here's some of the side effects of antibiotic therapy. Yeast overgrowth, oh, this is nasty. Hypersensitivity reactions, photosensitivity, irritable bowel syndrome. This is what we get in the office all the time. Casual relationships to neurodegenerative diseases. Oh my gosh, yes. And it's all because of antibiotics. What have they done? We'll get into that. Now, at the time, in 2001, we were complaining about anthrax. They had one antibiotic that would work, and they kept it a secret. And I guess through peer pressure, whatever, they released it in 2008, and it's Cipro, which we all have heard of now, because it's a broad-spectrum antibiotic. one of the problems is that it might lead to serious tendon ruptures, and it can leave the patients incapacitated, needing extensive surgery. I had one of these patients. I couldn't believe it. I had this person for several years, and he comes in one day in a wheelchair. What happened? He says, well, Cipro did this to me. So we found out that he could be healed. He had to go to therapy for a long time, but that's, you know, these horrible reactions don't happen all the time, but it happened with this guy, and it was a shame. I mean, his legs looked like pencils, but he had to work really hard to bring his muscles back to life, and but he's good now, so. Okay, and all right, that's a bacteria. There's many bacteria, that was just one of them. Let's go to the next. Now, all right, here's the challenge with bacteria. And I'm not going to rattle on all the scientific stuff, but they have several protective layers. They have an inside layer, a cytoplasmic membrane, that seals the structures and acts as a barrier, so you can't get to it, all right? It may have an outer capsule, and it may have additional outer envelope. Everything to protect it from getting destroyed, right? Okay. how can bacteria block antibiotic therapy? Well, they block it through a physical therapy. As I mentioned, they can block, they can change the pores, the little holes where the antibiotics would go in and get them. They can do that. They can secrete an enzyme that destroys the antibiotics enzyme, a lactone ring, which is meant to prevent the bacteria's ability to replicate. Bacteria can transform their own chemistry, let's put it that way, so that antibiotics cannot bond to it, and they can alter their location to where the antibiotic can get in. Okay. Bacteria and viruses, they work this way. They can both mutate, causing the ability of a given antibiotic to become ineffective. Well, haven't we heard about that? Bacteria can change the location of the pores. Antibiotic therapy causes the stronger bacteria, here we go, to survive, making the next generation that much stronger to destroy. And that's where we are today. The bacteria has gotten so strong because we've been on antibiotic therapy, and we go off it and then we go back on it again, or they keep prescribing the antibiotic because we still don't feel good, and it just constantly builds, it kills off the weaker of that bacterial strain, but the stronger mutation becomes stronger each generation. All right. Continuous and prolonged antibiotic therapy kills the weak. I just said that. Okay. kills the weaker, but the stronger survive, making the next generation even harder to destroy. Okay. And viruses, this is, oh, they're horrible. Viruses are just collections of genetic materials, DNA and RNA. They cannot replicate by themselves, and they have to go into a host cell and take us over so they can make their own DNA and replicate that way. Okay. The medical approaches to treating viruses, vaccines. All right, a vaccine is the introduction of a dead virus, and the goal is to make our immune system react to that implantation of that virus. This was very helpful. This is what I think. This was helpful early in the medical therapy when our immune systems were not so compromised. I'm talking about like the 1890s, 1900. They weren't so compromised by the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the food we eat. Okay. Now, this is what vaccines may have, which you're never going to be known. Not the metal. They contain aluminum, hydroxide, animal tissue. I'll stop there for a minute. We had a case, not we, there was a case in California just last week where a 15-year-old girl got her vaccine and died the next week. And what happened was they did not use, by mistake, dead tissue. Right? It was still virulent. I'm talking about COVID, I'm sorry. And she died. And she only got the vaccine because she wanted to be a babysitter, and the parents said, you can't babysit unless you have a vaccine shot. And this is what happened. So it's really, you never know, I mean, what the labs are doing, what they're not doing, what they're putting in their product, and this is part of it. So they have animal tissue, monosodium glutamate, which is a preservative, MSG. It's antifreeze. Sorbitol, sucrose, and thimerosal, which is mercury, a mercury product. Lovely. But that's all in vaccines. All right. Now, this is really horrible. This is what vaccines can do. I'm sure they will, but they can actually change their DNA. That really scares me. And that you can really go on to conspiracy theories with that. You can develop the disease that the vaccine was intended to prevent. You can get multiple booster shots, which weakens the immune system, and is why, as in COVID-19, people are asked to get booster after booster. I think they're up to, say, four now. Right? Hopefully everybody says, no, stop. You know, that's what they do. Now, there was a big paper by HHS, which is Health and Human Services, that ignored the effects. They just kind of suppress the information, so you don't know. Okay? But can also cause all of these things, swelling, rash, pruritus, paresthesia, dizziness, it just said on and on and on, all of this stuff. All right. Go ahead, Donna. Here's some more serious sides of a vaccine. It can cause chickenpox. It can cause vaccine-induced polio, whooping cough, central nervous system damage, which I have seen. It can cause a type of meningitis. This is the one that really got me. It can cause type 2 diabetes. And I have all these papers and all the scientific studies. I could not believe that it actually does it. It can. It doesn't say it will, but it can. All right, so what do we need to do to attack a bacteria or a virus? The substance has to be able to penetrate the bacteria's various membranes to be able to commensurate when the bacteria or virus mutates its pore openings. It has to be able to destroy the bacteria or virus's ability to reproduce. What else do we have here? Go ahead, next. All right, so that's the challenge before us, all right? And that's the challenge that I felt I wanted to tackle, because what they have is not the meaning. All right, so go ahead and go to the next one there. There are, starting with the laboratory director that gave me a hint about what natural substances can kill both viruses and bacteria, I started with that and went from there. And after 5 years, believe it or not, 5 years, I finally got it all together, which is what is offensive, okay? So the big three, there's more, but the big three is this. First, there's monolaurin. Monolaurin is a fatty acid. It has the unique ability to dissolve the fatty-coated bacteria and viruses out of membrane. It doesn't have to find the hole to get in there. It just dissolves the whole thing. It doesn't matter. It can mutate to the cow's component. Okay? Monolaurin is found in mother's milk and coconut. Now, how natural can you get? All right? And that's why it's the best thing to do to breastfeed the baby, because they get the monolaurin and that gets the baby's immune system started and protection. It's also monolaurin also is reported to interfere with their ability to replicate. Okay. Next. And, all right. I just threw a few of those on there. We don't have to worry about that. Let's go to the next. There you go. Next one. You've probably heard of these. Extract of olive leaf. Main ingredient is olecranon. Now, what's neat about this is it cleaves or splits the bacteria or the virus's DNA structure. So we would have monolaurin. So it's a cocktail, all right? It's a cocktail where first we have monolaurin, which destroys the outer layer. That allows the extract of olive leaf to go in and split or DNA or split or cleave the DNA structure. Now we're trying to kill it. It also interferes with the ability to take over a host cell, and prevents spreading by inhibiting its growing or budding, as if that's what they do. It will stop it because it's killing the DNA right then and there. Okay. Next. Research from John Upjohn published this. It shows that there's a list of 56 pathogens that are inhibited by extract of olive leaf. This is actually in the Bible as well. So, okay. A few references. Go ahead. Next one. This sounds pretty fancy, isn't it? It's a beta-1,3-glucan. It's a complex sugar. It's a starch. Okay. Isolated from brewer's yeast and certain cereals and mushrooms, so there's an indication right there. What can I use that's not a supplement? Well, cereals, mushrooms, okay. Beta-1,3-glucan functions to activate the white blood cells. That's our attack system, okay? It's a type of lymphocyte of the white cells that goes on the attack, and that's what beta-glucan does. And it also does all this other stuff, which is all an attempt to get the immune system kicked on and active against the offending virus or bacteria. It does a lot. So it's marvelous stuff. I don't need to look at everything that's in there because it's all biochemistry and stuff. All right. So, all right. Next. References again. Okay. Next. IPS is inositol hexaphosphate. This is a naturally occurring carbohydrate found in animal, almost all plant animal cells, actually. The chemical positioning of the phosphate molecule provides a valuable property combating bacteria and viruses. Yeah, go ahead, go to the next slide, because that explains what's going on. This is the big thing. IP6 blocks the virus and bacteria's food supply. That's its food supply. That's what you'll notice in multiple vitamins for adults. You shouldn't see, and you probably won't see, on the list of ingredients, iron. They know it, but they don't tell you that. If you want iron, or if you need iron, some people do, then you get iron second. But most of the vitamins will not have iron in it, and this is why. So if you have if you're sick, you got a virus, you got a bacteria, you really don't want to take a multiple vitamin thinking that would make yourself better, but it has iron in it, you're just going to feed the virus and bacteria. Not good. Okay, and again, a few more references. Okay, go on. Next. All right, so the big four to start with are this monolaurin, which dissolves the outer layer. Right, then we've got extract of olive leaf that goes in and breaks up the DNA structure, and IP6 bonds and blocks the iron, and then this long thing beta-1,3-glucan, which actually starts the immune system getting all the white blood cells. The army is ready to attack, and that's what all this is in that biodefense. That's why I call it biodefense, because it's our own defense that we can do. Okay, then there's the part two is basically, well, that's great, but how do we build our immune system? Well, we know about food, and I'm sure that you all will talk about that. Mine is to go through some of these other things. And there are many things that support and help build the immune system, right? All right, we talked about colostrum. Well, colostrum, again, is from mother's milk. And it contains the immunoglobulins. And it contains lactoferrin, which is a protein that binds iron, so it can't be used by the bacteria and viruses. Colostrum, when it comes to a baby, I mentioned this, via breast milk, provides the baby's first healthy dose towards a natural, healthy immune system. Okay. And references, okay. Golden seal, that's another good one. The rhizome contains hypristine and berberine, which are alkaloids that help activate the white cells. Okay, go to that. Next. That last one, you don't have to go back to it, but most of us have an American diet, so our bodies are often in acidity. And viruses, bacteria thrive in an acid environment. So if we can get our bodies into an alkaline state, which is what we want, that's going to really, really help. And that's what that other supplement does. Okay. And that's all in here. Thank you. Okay. All right, we'll go over the next one. Back to echinacea, you all heard about that. It has all sorts of marvelous stuff. It increases the white blood cells, it mobilizes them. It raises body temperature. That's kind of interesting. The natural healing for us is to get a fever, right? But we're so intent on suppressing that fever that some things don't work very well. So if we let the fever go, I've been through this with my kids 100 times. You know, the fever will go up to 102, 103, and you go, okay. We go to the emergency room. But often it breaks at 104, and that's it. Because at 104 is when the virus and bacteria die, because they can't tolerate that heat. We can. It's not good for us, but we can tolerate and recover. They cannot. In Germany, that's what they do for one of their treatments for prostate cancer. They'll put you in a machine, put you up to 104, 105 degrees, and you'd be internally really hot, but it really destroys, in this case, cancer. All right, yeah, that's interesting. We don't have that here, so no, don't ask. All right, stimulates the production of T cells, stimulates the production of cytokines. Okay, we don't want to control that fancy stuff. All right, go to next. Garlic. Oh, yeah, there you go. This is another natural food one, right? Garlic is good for anything that ails you. Really. That's great stuff. But it has these allicin, its main ingredient that does all these things. We've used garlic in the office for many different things. I've had it even get rid of warts. Really? Okay. Okay. Neem leaf. Ever hear of neem leaf? This is an old-timey one, and it contains all these fancy compounds, and they've been shown to stimulate white cells again. Here we are, building the immune system, okay? It provides interferon, which is an interesting, this blocks replication by a virus or bacteria. And it strengthens, of course, strengthens the immune system. Do it great, Donna. Do it great. Okay. Then we have antioxidants. Right. If you all know what an antioxidant is, it stops oxidation. Oxidation is destruction of the oxygen molecule. Antioxidants gets rid of the offending oxidant. So oxidation is what we don't want. You see it most if you cut an apple and you put it on the plate. It starts to turn brown. That's oxidation. Okay, it's destroying the oxygen molecule that's in there. So antioxidants is what we want. We don't get enough of them. And that, where are they? Well, they're in our fruits and our vegetables and our greens. That's why we really need to have more of that stuff. But an antioxidant, it can contain glutathione, which works inside the cell, N-acetylcysteine, which works outside the cell, and alpha-lipoic acid, which works all three. That's okay. But that's what it does. All right, so where are you here? So that's putting it all together. I think I mentioned that. So
I was going to say, I think you just did that.
Yeah, I just read all that.
You're done.
So, oh, I'm done. Okay.
Great. You're done.
That's it. So I developed this, again, this product, and this is exactly what you saw on the slides. It took me 5 years to do it, and I don't know how many reams of documentation, because in my position, see, I was the president of the American
Board of Nutrition. A whole filing drawer.
Yeah. I was the president of this nutrition organization for America, and I was challenged constantly, just constantly. So I thought, you know, if I'm going to do something like this, I better document every word I say, which that's why I have 500, over 500 references. The ones you saw there were just a few, you know, just in case. But I think they're in the book here in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
page after page after page after page of documentation, all from peer-reviewed medical literature. So it's there. And the rest of it, I brought it onto them. I thought, well, how come nobody else has done this? And I couldn't answer that. I don't know. So I said, I'm going to do it. So I did. And again, you know, it took a long time. And it took a long time to get a manufacturer, this, that, and the other. And started to dispense it. And lo and behold, it was doing fantastic things for all sorts of bacteria, regardless of what it was. Okay? I mean, it didn't matter if it was the flu, it didn't matter if it was COVID, it didn't matter if it was streptococcus or pneumococcus. I mean, I have some pretty dramatic ones, okay? I've had it eliminate, you roll your eyes on this one. I had a patient whose mother had a tuberculosis in Belgium. That's where it shrinked on. So she, anyway, so we sent her a case by the defense. And in 4 days, this woman was feeling better. So the medical doctors wanted this book so they could translate it so they could make it intelligent, which was kind of cool. You know? But I learned that a bacteria is just a bacteria. All you have to do is get through its defenses. just like Independence Day. I've got to get past the defenses, and you can just destroy it. And it's the same thing with the virus. And that's what I've been finding out. Look, it's not 100%, but it's worked so well that I recommend it all the time. And that's that. Just before I'm done here, just to let you know, I did also come up with and develop a stress formula, because I don't know anybody that's not under stress nowadays. And the differences on this one, as compared to all the stress type formulas that you see on the market, is this one contains all the neurotransmitters, okay, which you don't see in the stores, which actually tell the brain, calm down, relax. And we have some literature on that, I guess. Anyway, so I
forgot that. I have it at the office, no. But I can email it.
So I'm 20 minutes
I was going to say, so Sarah, yeah.
Okay, that's it. I'm done.